of truth are being sung, as the word of God, not my words, but God's word that is about to be preached. Every Sunday, every opportunity is given to us by God, and he wants each of us here to know who he is. Not so that we'll be burdened with a long set of rules, as we might feel at times, but actually the more we get to know God, the more we'll start to feel and understand that our burden is meant to be lifted, and that God does not want us to be more stressed or have more things on our table to be responsible for, but actually he wants to show us that in being responsible with life, for those who know God, there's an absolute certainty that he is indeed in control, that he is sovereign, and that he is steadfast in his love for you and me. That's where we last left off in the book of James, where we talked about all good and perfect things coming from God the Father, who knows us, who loves us. And now James, as he's highlighted the character of God in his steadfastness, which essentially means that in his love for you and me, he never changes. Regardless of how far away you may feel, or even how wrong you have lived, God, in his love for you, remains the same. And that's a key thing that we have to remember, because James is about to dole out some very difficult imperatives for us, some difficult commands from God. And we have to always keep in our heart and our mind the gospel message first, so that when all these commands come about, we don't get into our, okay, now I got to work hard to achieve salvation, or I have to work hard so that God will love me. Remember, always it is because God first loved us, now we can love, now we can live out our faith and do what he's called us to do. Let's never get that twisted, because once you twist that, you lose the gospel. When you make it me, I, it's all about what I can provide, what I can do, and then God will give to me, then you've already lost the heart of the gospel. The heart of the gospel says you cannot do, you are unable to do for yourself what is necessary to be forgiven of your sins, to be righteous, to be holy. And God says, I am willing to do that for you. It's a free gift of grace, and it's done through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus, who lived a perfect life, the only man, being fully God and fully man, the only person to do that in this world. And yet he sacrificed his life so that we might be forgiven and have eternal life in him. What an awesome truth of the word. So we need to keep that in the back of our minds, or actually in the forefront of our minds and in our hearts, so that as we get into this passage, you'll hear everything from that lens, through that perspective of God's grace. So we're going to look at James chapter 1, and we're going to look at a few verses here in James 1, chapter 1, verse 19 to 21. This is the word of God. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive the meekness of the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Let's pray together. Dear God, we come before you again. I pray that you would humble our hearts, mine included, that as we hear your word, God, that you would fill us with more of you. Remind us that these are not just words and lessons to be learned and applied, but these things deal directly with the relationship that you have with us, the relationship that we have with you. Especially for those of us here who are believers, may these words challenge and encourage us. And again, we pray for those who are here who may have gone to church and heard a lot about who you are. I pray that through this word, they will catch a glimpse of your grace, and that in your timing, and even if that's today, you can do it, that you would change their hearts to know you and be saved once and for all. So we thank you, Lord, for this time. Be with me as I preach your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, In the context of James, we remember in verse 18, where we just finished off before the passage here in verses 19 through 21, we learned that God is truly sovereign and that he is truly gracious in his plan and in his will. It said in verse 18, of his own will, he brought us forth. And remember, we discussed that to be brought forth essentially means to be birthed or to be born out of. And so what God was reminding us is that in his steadfast love and in his will, those of us who are children of God now, who have been saved by the blood of Christ, it was all a part of his plan. Well, we go a little bit further in verse 18, and it actually says, we were brought forth by what or by what means? And it says that we were brought forth, how? By the word of truth. And what is that word of truth? It's everything that I began today's message with, reminding us that the word of truth is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's out of that message that we have now been changed forever in our lives. It is through the message of Jesus Christ and the relationship that we are offered and given through him that we can now live radically different from what the world would have us do and live. And so what I wanted to see here today is this question of how can we, as those who profess to know and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, how can we live in such a way where we are living as ones who have received the word? How can we do that? There's three things that we're going to talk about today. First is this: humble yourself. Humble yourself. Second thing, take sin very seriously. Take sin very seriously. More specifically, your sin. Not a, I'm looking out everywhere and I see all this sin around me. Oh, I take that very seriously. It's easy to do that. But when God points to our own hearts, that's when we start going, oh, well, I'm okay. But take your sin very seriously. Lastly, know and acknowledge the power of the word of God. Know and acknowledge the power of the word of God. So the first thing that we're going to look at is this: to humble yourself. And when you humble yourself, oftentimes we think that humility just means thinking less of myself. But what I believe the Bible teaches us is that humility, true biblical humility, is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking so much more of who Christ is that you don't have time to think about yourself. You're so filled with the desire to honor and glorify God, and you grow in that desire, that pride, selfishness, it starts to fade away. You see, if you're just someone who's saying, well, I need to be more humble, so that's my application. I'm going to be more humble this week. I actually think that you do the opposite. But if I say, this week, I want to concentrate on my Lord, I want to get into the word of God, I want to pray more. The more that you saturate your life with more of God, humility is going to be a byproduct of that. Back in James chapter 1, verse 5, early on in this book, it said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And we talked about it then, that there's this kind of humility to say, I lack wisdom. Now, I don't know how many people are readily wanting to say that about themselves, but I'll say it right now, guys. I lack wisdom. I need God's wisdom. And believe me, when I pray, God, I need your wisdom. Please, Lord, fill me with more of your wisdom. Not the wisdom of this world, not my own intellect, not just even my experience, but God, what is the word that you have given to me? How does that speak into my life? Because that is the wisdom that I desire and need. This is what it says in verse 19 to 20. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So James here is addressing those who profess faith in Jesus Christ. Now, ladies, this is also for you. I know it says, dear brothers, right? And, you know, the more I think about it, maybe guys might tend to struggle a little bit more with being slow to speak or slow to anger. But this is for all of us who are professing to be believers of Jesus Christ. So you might say, well, how does this relate with humility? Well, when you're humble and you ask for God's wisdom, this is it. He's telling us this is how we as believers of Jesus Christ must live our lives. And as you hear those words, I want you to think back even on this past week. Even on this past week, it says, let every person be quick to hear. But then it says, slow to speak. How many times are we kind of biding our time with the listening part so that we can jump in and get ready to speak what we want to speak? Anyone like that here? Okay, married couples, I see you guys. Okay, you guys are trying not to make eye contact with each other. But that's kind of the reality is oftentimes we have so many ideas, our own opinions, our own feelings. I want to tell you about me, about what I want, about what I think. And so we're quick. We're actually quick to speak. And when we hear other people talking, maybe it's like, okay, hurry up, hurry up. I already have my rebuttal or my response geared up and ready to go. But the wisdom of God says, let every person be quick to hear. That should be your natural bend, is to listen, especially when it comes to the Word of God. You know, we have a relationship with God through His Word. And oftentimes, I believe that we are surprisingly quick to speak rather than hear, even when it comes to what the Bible says. And you know why that is? Because there are times when the Bible teaches us about truth that we may not be ready to deal with. There are times where the Bible points to our hearts the need for humility and to set our lives upon the Lord, and we don't want to hear it. We want to keep on living how we live. We want to justify the things that we do. But that's not the wisdom of God. That is not humbling yourself. Humbling yourself, again, means more of God. And that means even if it causes discomfort at first because it feels different to live in another way, you're saying, I am now a different person. I am a believer of Jesus Christ. I have been changed in my life, and now I want to live in humility, humble myself in the wisdom of God. You know, I once heard someone say, you know, God has His plan and His purpose for everything. So we look at what He's given to us. We have 2 ears and 1 mouth, right? So you should listen more often than you speak. Now, some of us have really big mouths, bigger than others. But still, it's only 1 mouth. And another kind of interesting thing is this. You can't just shut your ear holes on and off, right? You can't do it. Look, I'm trying right now. Can't do it. I mean, I can cover them like this, but your mouth, you can close anytime. You have the control to do that. And I thought that's kind of profound. It's silly, but it's profound, right? Like, God gave us ears to hear, to listen. And as believers, I hope and pray that we will be quick to listen. They'll be willing to hear the Word of God and what it has for us. Stop doing just what you want to do, saying just what you want to say or what you think. And see what the Word of God has for us, what God says. Be quick to listen. Now, you may also have good Christian friends that want to speak into your life. Be quick to listen. Don't go looking for the specific people that you know are going to justify what you want to do and go along with what you want to do. That's not really listening. That's finding the right people that you want to just keep doing what you want to do. But when you humble yourself, remember, we go to God. So humble yourself in the wisdom of God. Learn to go to Him and hear what He has to say. Amen? I hope that we'll do that. I know I need to do that. We need to just continue to go to the Word of God and ask Him for more of His wisdom as we humble ourselves. Second thing is this: take your sin seriously. Yes, all sin, but I want to speak directly to each one of us here today. Take your sin seriously. Look what it says in verse 21. It says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Now, you might think to yourself, well, Pastor Josh, I don't think I've had this kind of rampant wickedness that this verse is talking about. I've been pretty good. But I'll tell you now, if your heart has not been set upon God in all that you've done and said this past week, or even today, this morning, if there has been even a moment of anger or pride or hatred or whatever it might be that goes against him, then there is wickedness. There may even be things that you actively knew and chose to do that you knew was against God, whether it's a lie, lusting, gambling, whatever it might be. But God says, put away all that filth. Put it away. Because that's not who you are. That's not what you're living for. That's not your purpose. You're mine. You're my child. You're a new creation in me. I've saved you. Not just to stay the same, keep doing what you were doing, but to do something radically different. To live life for him, for God. So it says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. You know, I think something I want to kind of stay on for a little bit, because there's this kind of reality that when we struggle with a certain sin, whether it's a temptation, something that we've dealt with for a long time, or maybe even something that we've just realized about ourselves, the reality of a maturing Christian is that you will start to see more sin in yourself, actually. Now, I know that might seem kind of backwards, because you might think, well, if I'm a Christian, then shouldn't I be sinning less? Yeah, yes, you should. But there will be things that God highlights in your heart and reveals to you that you actually had no idea it was something that you struggled with so much. So hear when I say, if you are a growing Christian, a maturing Christian, there will be times when you have these kind of epiphanies or realizations, oh my goodness, I'm a sinner. I have wickedness still in me. I still have this desire to live for myself and to do for myself and to live selfishly. And it's all about me and what I gain and what I can store up for myself. What do I get in return? And that's good. It's good that you see the depths of your sin. Because when you see the depths of your sin as a believer of Jesus Christ, that should make you look even more at the amazing grace of God. Amen. Because we're going to start seeing what Jesus did for us on the cross was not, well, I was a pretty good guy, but I had this kind of sin thing, and Jesus was the only one that could take care of that. So thanks, Jesus. That's going to transform to, I'm on my knees, God, because I realize the depth of sin in my life and in my heart and just how far that goes. But thank you, God, for the cross. Thank you, God, for your grace that is sufficient for me. And when you do that, when you go to God, your burdens are lifted. When you take your sin seriously, it doesn't mean you get down on yourself more. It means you make more of the grace of Jesus Christ. That's the amazing thing of God's grace, is that even when you realize how bad you are in one sense, how you can never achieve righteousness in the eyes of God on your own power, but that you've been given it by Christ through his death and resurrection. And all you have to do is repent and believe. Man, it's like, that's crazy. But that's reality. So taking your sin seriously, again, it doesn't mean beating yourself up, chastising yourself. It means every time you see sin in your heart, you go to the Lord. You turn it over to him. And you know how he's going to receive you every time? If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, he'll point back to the cross and say, I've already died for that sin. I've already paid the cost of that sin that you've been dealing with once and for all when I died upon the cross. That should fill you with some kind of amazing love. I know it does for me. I see my imperfections. I see sin. And I have to repent and say, God, change me. Mold me to be more like you. But thank you, God, for your amazing grace in my life. Now, taking sin seriously, there's also a very practical aspect to it. There's a reason that he's given to us the body of Christ. There's a reason that he's given to us brothers and sisters who also want to honor and obey the Lord. So if there's something that you're struggling with practically, make practical decisions to put away all that kind of filth and wickedness. Find a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ that you can confide in, that you can share openly with and not receive judgment, but someone who you'll hear the truth from, so you can be directed back to God. Be directed back into the arms of God, who will give you grace after grace after grace. You know, I've shared about, you know, some of my friends in the past who've just given me testimony after testimony about having to make these kind of real practical decisions. I had a friend in college who was just in the party scene, and he found himself being drunk very often throughout the week. And most of the time it was because his friends were inviting him out, saying, let's go out. And there was always a reason, right? It's Monday. Let's go party. Oh man, it's 70 degrees today. Let's go party. I mean, you could come up with all sorts of reasons to go. I'm not saying there's something wrong with partying, okay? But he was getting drunk and he knew that that was against God. And when he repented and he wanted to take this sin seriously, he had to make a very real decision. All the friends and the social circles that he had made, most of it was outside of the church. And he knew making a decision to keep away from those kind of environments might change his whole social life, everything that he'd been kind of building up throughout the years. But he made the decision. He said, you know what, I cannot step foot in a bar. I cannot step foot in one of these places where I know that I will not be able to control myself. And I think that's humility on his part. I've seen people do the opposite and say, you know what, if Jesus is really with me, then I can go anywhere and he'll keep me away from these things. It's like, don't do that. Don't overestimate yourself. Humble yourself. Know what you need to do to throw away these things. And not because God is a killjoy, but because he has these kind of rules and things that he wants you to stay away from so that you can have the most fulfilling thing, which is more of him, to grow in your relationship with him. So he chose to never go to those places again. And he lost a lot of friends over it. But if you lose friends over something like that, were they friends in the first place, right? We need to surround ourselves with people who will help us to actually take our sin more seriously. Even if it's an enemy, someone who you don't like at all, who you despise, and they come up to you and they point something out to you and say, hey, you seem really prideful. What's your response going to be? Well, I need to hear that from my pastor, or I need to hear that from someone who loves me. Well, yeah, that's preferable. But even if it's someone who doesn't like you and you don't have a good relationship, if they point out some kind of sin in your life, or maybe it's a non-Christian that says, and you call yourself a Christian, what's your response? One response can be, who the heck are you to say something like that to me? Or it might be like, I don't care what you have to say, because I know you don't really care about me. There's all sorts of ways to still not take whatever is being highlighted seriously. I think that in every critique or even attack, we do have, as humble believers, an opportunity to ask God, is there something true about what this person has said? God, I want to humble myself. Show me if there's pride in me. Show me if I did something that to this non-Christian showed not love, not you. And if that's the case, God, I repent. Help me so that I can show more of who you are. So taking sin seriously means take it, be honest with it, be real with it, and then make active decisions each and every day to cast those things out, to throw those things away so that you can know more of God. Find someone who can help you, who will walk through that journey with you if there's something that you're struggling with. Third thing is this: know the power of the Word of God. Know the power of the Word of God. So the remainder of verse 21, this sort of says, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness. Again, there's this humility that's required in order for you to receive. It all goes hand in hand. When you're quick to listen, God wants to speak truth into our lives. All of us here, he wants us to know his truth and believe in who he is. So receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now here's the interesting part. Who is James talking to in this passage? We've already said it, right? He's talking to believers. So why haven't they already received the word? Aren't their souls already saved? So why is he saying to Christians, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls? Now, what I believe James is saying here is that yes, indeed, if you have been saved, you must live as one who is continuing to receive with humility the word of God which saved you. He who began the good work in you, that which is implanted in you by his grace, keep on receiving. Don't stop listening. Don't stop humbling yourself. Keep on going in the word of God. He's saying what's in you now has to be actually lived out in every decision, in every relationship, in every context of your life. This is the power of the word of God. It not only deals with our relationship with him, where we're growing in our understanding of our sin, but how deep the grace of God goes, but now also in how we affect others around us. There is this power in the word of God that is implanted in each one of us. For those of us here who are believers, you have the implanted word of God in you. So draw strength from the word of God. Study the word of God. Grow in the word of God. Humbly receive it. Humbly obey it. You know, we were talking about brothers and sisters in Christ, people who you might go to for advice. Now, I know there's people who have been through a lot and maybe are very good at empathizing, or maybe even, you know, have a gift in counseling or caring for others. But too often, I hear people give what sounds like very good advice to different situations. But then you check it according to the Word of God, and you're just like, wow, that's not biblical. Now, I share that because I think we all have a responsibility as Christians that when we give advice, when we counsel others, whether they are Christian or not, our framework of response as we speak into situations ought to be saturated in the Word of God. The Word of God, which is implanted in our hearts, which is what makes it possible for a soul to be saved, that is what our advice and our counseling of others must stand on. It just has to be a part of who we are. If we understand the power of God through his word in our own lives, how it has transformed us, how it has transformed the way that we deal with situations and hardships and difficulty in life, then why would you not then extend that to one who does not know the Lord? Or maybe someone who's young in the Lord. To know the power of the Word of God means to rest in it, to grow in it, to believe in it. Psalm 119 in the Bible is the longest chapter. And I don't think that there's a coincidence there. What is Psalm 119 all about? It's about the Word of God. It's about delighting in the Word, having it be an integral part of your life, that it affects everything that you do and say. Don't be one person here, and then when you're out with your friends or coworkers, be a totally different person. That's not knowing the power of the Word of God that has saved you, that has changed you. Be filled with the Word. Read your Bibles. Everyone hear that? Read your Bibles. Who's heard that more than one time at church? Okay. Yeah, the ones that aren't raising their hands are not listening. Right now or before. But why? All right, that's the question. Why read the Bible? Because the Bible is God's grace to us that He's given. The Holy Scripture from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation. It's His gift to us that reveals more and more about who He is. So it's never about the rules, guys. Right? James, you can turn even this short passage all into, well, I just got to make sure that I don't get angry. I got to just make sure I listen more. I just got to make sure that I talk less. Okay, I'm going to time myself. Let's see how slow to anger, how slow to speak I am. And we could try to do that and make it just about following the rules. But then you've missed it entirely. James, with all of its rules and difficult commands that are given, is really still all about pointing to the relationship that we ought to have with our God. That's even what the Ten Commandments were all about, wasn't it? It wasn't just don't do this and do this and do that. It was all about keeping that relationship with God. God revealing who He is in His love, His steadfast love, in His mercy, but also in His righteousness and power and glory. I pray for our church. The question, will you live in such a way as one who has received the Word of God? Will you humble yourself and ask for His wisdom? Will you listen readily to the Word of God? Will you be changed in your heart so that you will be slow to anger? Only God can change your heart to do that. Do whatever is necessary to stay away from sin. Run the other way if you have to, if that will mean that you are running towards our Heavenly Father. And again, lastly, know the power of the Word of God. It's what saved you. The message of Jesus Christ. The gospel. Don't forget it. Live every day as one who has received the Word. The implanted Word that's in you and a part of you. Let's pray together. Just take one moment to pray. Can you just respond to the Word of God? Again, if you're here today and you are not a believer of Jesus Christ, I'm so happy that you're here to join with us in this worship service. But you know what made me even happier? To see your life changed. For you to know the God that I know. The God that loves so deeply. Cares so deeply for each one of you. And some of us, we just can't see it yet. We don't feel it yet. But if you would humble yourself, He's waiting and He's ready at all times to shower you with His love and forgiveness. So if you're not a believer, can you just, if God is leading you, if He's opening your heart up to Him, just pray. And I pray that it will be real in your life. I thank God that you're here to hear his word. If you're already a believer of Jesus Christ, please do not forget the word that you have already received and had implanted in your heart. Do not forget the salvation that comes through relationship with Jesus. Stop leaving Jesus out of the picture in your life. To receive the word and believe means to know Christ and have a relationship with him. And it wasn't a relationship that was established just once to say, well, now I'm saved. It was a relationship that was established to continue to grow in you so that you can experience your life to the fullest. And because you will face trials and tribulations and hardship, and in the midst of those times especially, you got to rely on God. Know the power of the Word of God. Humble yourself and run away from sin and run towards God who loves you and cares for you so deeply. Just take one moment. Just pray, God, I want to know the power of your word. Let me get into your word, oh God. I want to know more of who you are. Just pray for a moment and then I'll close us. Father, I believe that you're doing a great work here in our church through the different ministries, fellowship, but ultimately through your word, God, you are doing something here in our church. I pray that everyone would have hearts open and humble to receive it. Be with our church. Help us to grow as those who know you more deeply. That any time there are people who step into the sanctuary, join us for worship, that they would get a strong sense that we are a church that has received your word and that we're living it out. We need you, God, each and every day. Thank you for all that you've done and all that you continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We will now go into a time of worship through the giving of our tithes and offerings.